Maybe not quite like other veterinarians. I didn't really like animals that much as a kid. My mom decided she wanted to bring in a dog into the family. I'm like, really? Do we have to? What's not to love, right?
And I'm assuming you see a lot of the misconceptions going on in the pet world.
Especially in the holistic world, one of the biggest misconceptions is that diet can fix everything.
I totally agree with you, and even we fell into that.
I mean, we even experienced that with ourselves. Like,
Yeah.
really cleaned up our diet and still had like GI and tummy issues, and we were like, oh, this is gonna take some extra work.
My thing is a bit more functional medicine, and that basically means to restore the body's function so that it can be the healthiest it possibly can be.
I just can't quite understand how that connection's not being made in the modern world right now.
In everything else, we ask why, but in medicine, when it comes to the body, we were kind of trained out of asking why.
Welcome to the BK Petcast. I'm Bryce. My wife Kinsey and I created this podcast to help you enrich and extend the lives of your dogs and cats. And today, we're joined by veterinarian Dr. Odette Suter. Dr. Odette Suter graduated from veterinary school in Switzerland in 1994. Early on, she recognized the limitations of conventional medicine and questioned its role in true healing. Her unconventional upbringing, combined with her own healing journey, has led her to explore many holistic avenues to uncover and treat the underlying cause of disease of her animal patients. Dr. Suter, also lovingly known as Dr. Poop Lady, is an award-winning international best-selling author of What Your Vet Never Told You: Secrets to Supporting Peak Health for Your Animal, and The Inside Effects: How the Body Heals Itself. As a truly holistic vet, she is passionate about education and is a sought-after speaker and teacher. She developed her own training and mentorship program for pet parents and professionals alike to empower them to think like a holistic vet and maximize their animal's health. Welcome to the Petcast, Dr. Odette Suter. So, first of all, Dr. Suter, thank you so much for being on today. Obviously, we are huge fans of yours, and it was so great to connect with you in person and then obviously to connect here as well. So, we just greatly appreciate you spending the time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I love connecting with you guys as well. It's just been a pleasure to actually meet you in person, and
Yeah.
you're doing such great work, educating pet parents and other people. And I know your book just came out or is in the process of coming out, so
Yeah.
congratulations on that.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. We really
Yeah. And just in
appreciate it.
case anybody thinks I'm weird, I am weird. It's
And
Halloween.
we
And
are recording this on Halloween. Yep.
exactly, but I couldn't get you Americans
I
to wear some
know.
costumes, so.
We should have remembered that. We should have done a Halloween episode.
We should
That
have,
would have been
definitely.
funny.
But weird is
Here it
the
is.
best.
Yes.
Love weird.
Before we kind of get started here, can you share a little bit about who you are and the things in your life that led to you doing what you do today?
Yeah, so I grew up in Switzerland, and I grew up with parents who were already more naturally oriented. We had our own veggie garden, or eating organic, spending lots of time in nature and so on. So it was an easy trend, but it was just a very natural progression into me becoming a holistic veterinarian, basically. And I always tell people, I was born weird and I just only got weirder. So yeah, so that's usually what I say about myself. But I'm not maybe not quite like other veterinarians. I didn't really like animals that much as a kid. When my mom decided she wanted to bring in a dog into the family, I'm like, really? Do we have to? So it was always my sister who brought in all the animals off the street. So but in any case, obviously I fell in love with a dog, and my sister dragged me into a horse barn, and that was it. I had the bug, and I never really looked back. Animals, I love animals. I'm always drawn to them, and when they're somewhere, and I go to a party, I'm usually hanging out with the animals.
Us too, absolutely.
So
I love
what's
it.
not to love, right?
So on your website, you mention nurturing the innate intelligence and health of animals. So could you elaborate on what that means to you?
I think that, we have really gotten away from allowing the body to do what it needs to do, because the body is so complex. There's a gazillion biochemical reactions happening every second. There's a ton of cells. Of course, there's a ton of microbes as well. So it's sort of a bit arrogant if we as humans come in and say, well, I know what to do with that body. Whereas the fact is, we don't really have much of a clue because it is so complex. And if you think about it, given all the things that were exposed, you know, traffic and everything, even if we have a little bit of something that's not working properly, we still stay alive. So that's quite incredible. And that's because the body has its own intelligence and it is geared towards health. So the body wants to be healthy. And so if, for example, an animal has a bit of a fever or a cough or a sniffly nose or diarrhea or vomiting, you know, we need to allow the body to take care of itself because there's a reason why this is happening. And as humans, we tend to, at least in this modern world, we tend to want to stop everything so that there are no symptoms at all. And that's a little bit where we get into trouble because we then block that innate, innate intelligence and innate healing of the animals.
So I have a question about your journey through vet school, because you said you very much started kind of in the holistic and natural world. You went to vet school in Switzerland, correct?
Yes.
So is vet school overseas similar to vet school in the U.S. where you kind of have a lot of the propaganda from the big kibble companies and they don't focus as much on the Western medicine? Or is it slightly different over there?
You know, I graduated 30 years ago-ish. So a lot has changed since then. And I'm not really sure exactly how they teach now. But when I was in vet school, they didn't really... there was not a lot of propaganda, at least when I went to vet school in Switzerland. I mean, certainly we heard about different brands and different companies, but it wasn't like it seems to be here in the United States where, you know, Hill Science Diet does a lot of contributing to vet schools with food and books and things like that. So I don't really have that experience back, at least back then.
What brought you to the U.S. or what made you want to practice medicine here?
I originally wanted to be a horse vet. So when I practiced in Switzerland, I worked in horse reproduction for a year because that was the only job I could find. There weren't that many jobs in as horse vets that you could find. So it's limited. You know, Switzerland is a small country, so there weren't a lot of jobs available. And one of the people who came by to just do a bit of a practical training, he was a veterinarian, and he talked to me about internships and a matching program that's, you know, available here in the United States. So I applied for that, and that's how I ended up in the United States, basically. I never really planned on it. I always thought I was going to be in France and have a farm with tons of animals. So... go figure, right?
Yeah, yes. I love it. So because you're a holistic veterinarian, I'm assuming you see a lot of the misconceptions going on in the pet world. What are some of the biggest that you see, maybe both in the veterinary world and or the pet, you know, the pet parent world?
Well, I think the biggest one is the quick fix approach that we have and the thought that we have to fix things right away and we need to do it, you know, with one thing. I think that's a very big misconception because the body has so many different systems and different aspects, and they're obviously all connected as well, you know, so it's not like we just have the head and the arms and the GI tract or whatever. We have, everything is connected, but there are several things that are needed for the body to be able to function properly. And Chinese, they've already known that for thousands of years and also taught that. Where, you know, diet matters, lifestyle matters. Are you happy? Are you eating by the seasons? You know, are you moving? So all of these things play a huge role in the approach to health. Because, for example, if you try to do rehab or, you know, a dog has a cruciate ligament tear and you want it to heal, you do have to do something about it. You know, you can't just let them sit on the couch and wait for the healing to happen. You have to actually do multiple things, and that can involve diet as well, because you want to have a low, you know, like an anti-inflammatory diet to help support it, but you also want to make sure that the nervous system is working properly and innervating the muscles that are supposed to be strong so that the joints, you know, the affected joint can be more stable, and that way it'll be less painful and the animal will use it more, so the rehab, you know, gets accelerated that way. And then you add exercise to it as well. So there are so many different things that are necessary to be able to have a healthy body. So it's not just one thing. And so I think, you know, especially in the holistic world, one of the biggest misconceptions is that diet can fix everything. And I don't see that at all. I mean, certainly diet plays a huge role, but it's not going to fix everything, not especially not in this day and age where, you know, the world is so polluted and everything is so toxic and everybody's so stressed out, you know. So it takes a whole lot more than that. And I think that's probably one of the bigger misconceptions.
I totally agree with you. And even we fell into that, because when we first kind of got started on this journey of feeding more fresh food and less highly processed food, the issues that our dogs had, we basically thought when you feed a higher quality food, those will go away. And like, mm-hmm. we feed, what I would argue is one of the highest quality foods on the market, both raw and gently cooked, and our dogs still have issues. And then we quickly learned that, like, you really have to have some targeted health care to take care of a lot of the stuff they're experiencing. Because like you said, the world is so polluted. We use so many toxins in our home. They spend so much time on the floors where those toxins build up. And that just doesn't necessarily go away with good food.
No, I mean, we even experienced that with ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, we've been, you know, it was the dogs that came first, definitely. And then we were like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should also be really conscious of taking care of ourselves too. And
right.
you know, we've really cleaned up our diet and still had like GI and tummy issues, and we were like, oh, this is gonna take some extra work. It's not just eating whole foods, you know.
Yeah, and that's another point too, and you know, that you're bringing up, that it's going to take a little bit of time too.
Yeah,
because you know, the quick fix approach is, you know, you take a pill and then you're all better 2 seconds later, but it doesn't quite work that way. The body still has to recover, because by the time symptoms show up, there's already a significant amount of dysfunction happening. And so we have to reverse that dysfunction, because the symptom is really just kind of the top of the iceberg, but we have to look at the, you know, bottom part of the iceberg too, and help restore that so that then the tip can be healthier as well. And you know, part of that is also to do some diagnostic workup, because a lot of time, I mean, especially when it comes to skin issues or ear issues, people always say, oh, it's yeast. I'm like, well, how do you know? You know, because yeah, you can't diagnose yeast unless you actually look at a sample under the microscope, because it could be bacteria, it could be some other fungal infection, it could be mites, it could be any number of things. And so I think doing some diagnostic workup is really important, because you may actually miss a very important aspect that could result in a really quick fix.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you actually know what's going on, because then you can come up with a plan. For example, you know, if you have a dog who all of a sudden can't jump up on the couch anymore, are you going to ask what supplement can I use, or are you going to do some diagnostic workup to see, well, what's going on? Because it could be a very simple chiropractic fix and your animal is all good, and you don't need all the supplements that you might have put your dog or cat on for, you know, years, and things not getting, you know, not getting better. So I think doing a diagnostic workup is really important, because unless we know what's going on and why something is happening, we can't really come up with a plan to fix it, you know?
Yeah, and we feel that very much so, because even in our journey with our pets, sometimes it feels like you're just shooting in the dark. And Dr. Katie Woodley puts it best. She goes, you want to avoid that supplement graveyard where you just have so many different products you're trying to throw in the bowl to help with various things. And then you kind of get into the world of using holistic medicine and holistic practices in conventional ways. And that's not the way that holistic medicine was meant to be practiced. So on the topic of kind of conventional versus holistic, how would a vet appointment with, say, you as a holistic veterinarian differ from a standard conventional vet appointment, where you go in, you let them know your problems, they, you know, open the ears and look in the nose or whatever, and they're like, okay, you know, let's try this. How is yours different?
Yeah, so I focus a lot on history. So I get people to fill out a questionnaire for me and get me all the medical information that they have. Although obviously conventional vets are doing that as well, but I certainly focus a lot on that so that I know what's been going on over time, and how to figure out also how did they get to where they are and what might I need to do to figure out some more information of what's going on. So that's always the first thing. And I also like to pre-educate people, so I will send them a video to watch on the seven pillars of health, which is basically a little bit about what we talked about, you know, the different aspects that are necessary for health, so that they come in with a more, you know, accurate expectation, or not, you know, sure, like the expectation of this is going to be a quick fix. So I want them to be a little bit on the same page as I am, so that the whole appointment will go better, and they're already, as I mentioned, pre-educated. And then I mean, the difference between a holistic vet generally and a conventional vet is that the appointment time is longer. So I spend, for an initial appointment, I usually allocate about an hour and a half, so that I can get to know the animal, take my time, especially if it's an animal that's a little bit worried and a bit anxious. I can just have a little bit of time for them to relax, for them to get to know me, and just kind of do things much more slowly, because animals are a little bit on their own time schedule, and so I have to move at their speed. So I can't really, I mean, certainly I could force it, but that's not really the point. Because I have more time, I can really allow them to just sort of relax and be more comfortable. And usually, especially when they come back, they're much more comfortable. So the first time they're still like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen here. You know, let's just wait until we leave.
Yeah.
to make up our minds, right? And then the second time, they're usually like, oh, yeah, it's you. Yeah, no problem. You know, you didn't kill me the first time around, so I think you're good. So that's one advantage of working as a holistic vet. I really am so sad that conventional vets only have like 7 to 15 minutes. You know, I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's got to be so difficult for them to work that way. So I definitely don't envy that. And then obviously, you know, I do a lot of testing to find out the underlying cause, and then slowly start to work on building that foundation for health, so that they can really improve. Because when an animal isn't feeling good, either something is missing or there's something that is there that shouldn't be there. So I want to find out what those things are. And, you know, deficiencies are more nutritional and such, and then excess is more like a toxicity, for example. So I want to make sure that we kind of balance that out, and then work towards building a foundation for the body to be able to function properly. Because, you know, my thing is a bit more functional medicine, and that basically means to restore the body's function so that it can be the healthiest it possibly can be.
I mean, the way I kind of think about it, I use a car engine analogy a lot in this, and it's like, when you have a car engine, if you have, you know, a pipe blown, you don't just go up and wrap the pipe. You have to, like, right, go in and say, okay, what really, why did this happen? How do we prevent this from happening in the future? And it's just, I just can't quite understand how that connection's not being made in the modern world right now, you know?
Yeah, I know. It kind of boggles, is mind-boggling to me as well, because in every other aspect of the world, of life, we ask why.
Yeah.
You know, and to your point, you know, with the car analogy, I use the car engine light, you know, and people putting a piece of duct tape on it when it comes on, you know.
That's so hilarious.
We're in the duct tape, you know, analogy for sure. Yeah. But yeah, it's in everything else, we ask why, but in medicine, when it comes to the body, we were kind of trained out of asking why. And that's the most important question, is to ask, why is it? You know,
I would totally agree.
Happening?
Yeah.
So do you have any preventative tips or steps or strategies that you could share with pet parents to ensure some more longevity and wellness, or just kind of a general plan of not having to use holistic or integrative medicine as like the last step, but kind of more as a proactive?
What I notice with pets, you know, we're so attached to them, we're so connected to them, and they, you know, they're basically our hearts. So my first thing to ask patients, or clients I should say, would be to just breathe and not go into knee-jerk reaction mode, because when we get scared and when something is going on with our animals, we just go into knee-jerk, and then, you know, let's just check Amazon and see what they have that we could give, you know, our animals. Of course, if your animal gets hit by a car, you know, you do have to have a knee-jerk reaction and take them to the ER right away. I mean, I'm not saying that you should never have that, but in most cases, especially if something has been going on for some time, you know, it's really important that we breathe, because when we breathe, we can reconnect with our hearts, we can reconnect with our thinking brain, you know, with our gut feeling as well. Because when we're stressed out, it's like thinking kind of goes out the window. I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience, but
never. I've never ever been like that.
I kid you not. So one of our dogs, Banks, had a period where we were at a private dog park that we were by ourselves, and they had just like some kind of wire fencing. And he's like a cat; he loves to rub himself against things. And it took like a dollar coin sized chunk of skin off of him. Like, ouch. Like Kinsey always describes it. It looks like somebody lifted the skin and just kind of cut it. You know what I mean? And it was like immediate freak out.
Yeah, it wasn't even actively bleeding. We could tell it was like definitely deep enough that we couldn't just like keep an eye on it.
And this is like 6 months ago. It wasn't even like years ago. So you're absolutely right. And I think to your point too, breathing not only helps you, but it can help your dog stay calm too, because of how connected we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I mean, of course, that's a little scary. I mean, if I saw that in my dog, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Shit. Oops.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We just looked at him. We're like, why is there a hole in him right now, you know? So, we totally feel you. And then 4 weeks later, he cut his paw out in our backyard and had to get stitches again.
I guess then you had another chance to learn to breathe, or
it wasn't any better. Yeah, it was not any better. But we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we are attached to them. That's normal. But if we can keep that in the back of our minds to remember to breathe, you know, when appropriate, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that note, the more experience you have, the more knowledge you have, the easier it gets as well, because I think oftentimes we freak out because we don't know something and we're like, oh God, what do I do now, right? Yeah. So it's more that we freak out a little bit more because we don't know what to do. And so another aspect that I think is really important in this world of health and, you know, disease is to get a mentor, because you know, we have the conventional approach and then we have the holistic approach. So there's so much information out there. And one of the bigger challenges that I see is that people consume so much information from either one or the other. And then they know all the different things about the herbs and essential oils and supplements and everything, but they don't really understand the foundation of health. And that's where I think it becomes really important to have a good foundation so that you can build on that, so that you know which way to go and not end up with that supplement graveyard. Because, you know, I see people come in with bags of things and I'm like, well, why are you giving that? And they don't even know why they're giving it. And that's not, you know, to be judgmental or anything like that. You know, I understand what the situation is. There's so much information available with, you know, online, that it becomes a little more challenging to discern, you know, which would actually be helpful and which wouldn't be helpful. And so I highly recommend having a mentor, because I always use the analogy of an airplane. You wouldn't fly an airplane just having watched a YouTube video, right? I hope.
No, you wouldn't. Let's hope not.
Yeah, so have a mentor, you know, because that can save you time. It can save your animals time. Because with someone who knows more, they can point you in the right direction a little bit more quickly than if you're trying to do it all on your own. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing it all on your own. But unfortunately, the animals don't have as much time as we do. Yeah. You know, they only live so long. And if we spend most of that time trying to fix them on our own without getting a little bit of outside assistance, it can be really challenging. you know, from financial, you know, financially, emotionally, obviously pain wise and suffering wise for the animals. And, you know, it can really be difficult for life in general, you know, because your partners, your kids, your family, your friends, everybody's going to be affected by that as well. So, and I want people to have a good life and their animals, of course.
So what are some of the biggest challenges you're facing day to day as a holistic veterinarian?
I guess one of the bigger challenges is that people, I guess, don't realize how sick their animals sometimes are and how challenging it may be to restore their health and how long it will take. So that can be a bit of an uphill battle for me to convey that. So that can be a bit challenging because people have really higher expectations and maybe a bit unrealistic expectations, and that can be really challenging. And one of the other things is too that people identify so much with their animals on some level that sometimes, again, that's not a judgment, but sometimes their own emotions can stand in the way a little bit of creating that healing and moving forward. So that's a little bit of the things that I'm dealing with. But, you know, I have a master's in psychology, so I do.
Oh, wow.
I am able to work with people on that level as well to help them have more peace in their life and have more acceptance for what's going on, because, you know, we're all on a journey. And so whatever the animals present to us is just one part of that journey. You know, if you had an animal that was really sick and you were doing all conventional things and you ended up having to put them down, but then you have another animal, the next one, and you're doing everything holistic because the others didn't work. So you're kind of on that path.
With your master's in psychology, did you get that before or after your veterinary degree?
After.
And did you do that because you wanted to be able to help pet parents more?
Well, it was when I came to the United States and I didn't have a license to practice veterinary medicine, so I was trying some other things. But I was always interested in, you know, personal growth, spirituality as well, you know, not the new agey kind that says, oh, you just have to stay positive.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't believe in that.
Right.
But, you know, becoming more aware of oneself and one's feelings, one's beliefs, so that we can, you know, so that one can grow. So that's basically, you know, part of why I did that. And also to just be able to deal with or support people better.
Yeah. Have you found that useful in your veterinary practice?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Are there any new emerging trends or advancements in holistic veterinary care that you're particularly excited about?
I do like that there's a lot of shifting happening, and especially, as you know, one of my favorite subjects is poop or the microbiome and the GI tract. So it's really quite fascinating how we are learning all about that. And with the microbiome, you know, because there's so many gazillions of them, of these microbes that are living in and around us and helping us and our animals thrive, it's really fascinating how this is changing the entire approach to healing, and even on the conventional field. So it feels like a holistic and conventional are approaching, at least. They're not merging yet in a way, you know, like conventional medicine is still more focused on extinguishing the fire, whereas holistic medicine is more about restoring health. But of course, you know, we also help to extinguish fires when necessary, because in the end, quality of life is important. But in any case, with this newfound interest in microbes and using them as our allies rather than our enemies, I think there's a lot that's changing and is creating a beautiful shift. And it also parallels the shift in consciousness that we humans are going through, from fighting each other, fighting everything, resisting everything, to just allowing things to support us and to come together as a community and, you know, work together for the benefit of everybody.
Let's say we have a pet parent listening to this and they're brand new to all of this. They, you know, they might be very much in the conventional world. They've never heard of any of this stuff that we're talking about, but their pet is struggling. How would you recommend they get started or start to seek out the help that might benefit them?
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend that they start working with a holistic veterinarian. And there's there are several websites that offer lists of holistic veterinarians, and maybe also ask some of their neighbors and friends and, you know, maybe the local Facebook groups to see if anyone has any recommendations. Because unfortunately, in the holistic world, you know, as you mentioned, some of the holistic medicine, you know, holistic medicine is practiced just like conventional medicine. You know, there's diarrhea, so you use an herb. You don't go figure out why the diarrhea is there, right? So there are a lot of holistic veterinarians that are not as holistic as people would like them to be. So it's good to just get a bit of a referral and find out a little bit from people and maybe interview some veterinarians too. You may have to pay a little bit of a fee, because obviously it's their time that they provide, but, you know, just finding out a little bit more, and then obviously read their websites, you know, look at those. Maybe if they have a YouTube channel, listen to some of their videos, etc. So do a little bit of research, obviously, and then get started that way, because it can be overwhelming. I mean, if you have a healthy animal and you just want to do better, then you can obviously start with diet and changing diet, etc. But if you have a sick animal, it can be very overwhelming. Yeah. To know where to start, because a lot of people, they will start with diet and then the animal gets worse. So we don't want to do that either. So there's a little bit of a science to the madness of healing. Or, you know, you have to kind of make sure that you build them up so that they can have a, you know, a nicer journey and not one that's just like a roller coaster.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so Dr. Suter, well, first of all, thank you so much. Before we wrap up here, I want to give you the opportunity to let our audience know where you live online. So social media, website, where can they connect more with you?
Yeah, so I have a website, odettesuterdvm.com. I'm also on Facebook, social, Instagram, YouTube. I have a bunch of videos that are educational that talk a little bit about the seven pillars of health and also give you an idea of what it really takes to turn your animal's health around and have a mentor, because I do offer mentorship for people who want some help with their animals worldwide, because I know there's definitely a lack, and especially a lack of veterinarians in general, not also in the US, and especially holistic vets. So I help to support people, you know, wherever they are in their journey and in this world. And I have a couple of books as well, What Your Vet Never Told You. That's a really easy read and fun, and talks about all the things as well. Again, if you don't watch the videos, you can read the book if that's your preferred way of learning. And then my other book, I'm just a co-author, which is called The Inside Effects, How the Body Heals Itself.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I think our audience is going to find a lot of value in this, and I'm sure they're going to want to connect with you more. So we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for doing this. And I applaud you for everything that you do. And I know you're constantly learning. So I wish you guys all the best in this journey. And if I can help in any way, let me know. And, you know, all the listeners, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much. It means the world to us. And for those of you that are watching or listening, thank you so much for choosing to spend your day with us. As always, I'm Bryce.
I'm Kinsey.
And we'll see you in the next episode.